country. Cold. Some days you're living. Today's a good day for a game at Lambeau Field right now. Let's go out to a gentleman who's close to there anyway, Mike Clemens, our 98Q sports reporter. Mike, Happy New Year. Good morning to you.
Happy New Year. You know something? I just realized I don't really have the exact forecast for Sunday in Green Bay, but I guess is it going to be like in the teens or around 20?
Yeah.
Kickoff at noon?
Pain. Forecast is pain. Cold.
Yeah. So, you know, you know that's draining. I don't care if it's the ice bowl or
whatever. Yeah.
That's tough on players.
Yeah. Let's look back quick to last week's game, a little more comfortable inside of the vault there at U.S. Bank Stadium. You were there. What did you see after talking to the players and coaches? What were a couple of the main things that the Packers needed to do better to win that one?
First of all, you can't deny the level of talent that they've got on the perimeter on the Vikings offense, starting with Justin Jefferson, and Addison, and then they picked up Aaron Jones, the Packers' former running back. Hawkinson is the tight end. But then you've even got this Jalen Naylor. If all those guys are covered by the Packers' Jeff Hafley's defense, then there's, you know, this Naylor kid. He's wide open down in the middle on a post pattern. He gets his five catches and a touchdown there in the first half. And then Sam Darnold. My God, you know, the guy goes from struggling with the Jets, you know, a cup of coffee with the Panthers, with the 49ers, and what Kevin O'Connell has done with him. When I watch these games, Joel, you know, I'm writing down stats, I'm looking at replays, I take the binoculars and I go and see, you know, how this left tackle is doing one-on-one for the next four or five plays, all those kinds of stuff. By the third quarter, I just thought, you know what, just put away all that stuff and just soak it in. And you come away saying, you know, Jordan Love has got a big arm. And there's times where he step plants and lets that thing go. And the ball goes high, and it's coming down, and you're like, I'm not quite sure who that's intended for. You know?
Yeah.
Whereas with Sam Darnold, I mean, it's snap, set, plant, go. And they're mid-range passes. There's not a lot of deep balls.
Right.
And it's like, as soon as the ball's leaving his hand, your eye goes downfield. It's like, oh, my God, he's got a guy wide open over the middle. Oh, look at, you know where the ball's going.
Yeah.
And it just gets there quicker. And somehow Kevin O'Connell, their head coach, who's probably going to get coach of the year because of the job he's done with Sam Darnold, you know, has got them in that kind of rhythm. And it just, you know, so that kind of play calling and rhythm they've got that quarterback in is something to note.
Yeah, and if people see Kevin O'Connell always talking on the sideline, I don't know if people realize this, there's a lot of clips on there on social media. He talks to Sam Darnold a lot, and not just about the play, about being confident, about telling guys what to say to guys. I just listened to a Facebook Reels thing this morning where he's saying, you know, tell so-and-so he did a good job there. Now, here's the next play. I mean, he is coaching him up at a level maybe that a head coach has never done before.
LaFleur, I've noticed in the last year, because as Bisaccia this, has spent more time working with the offense or with Jordan Love when the defense goes on the field. So, in other words, defense goes out there, and I'll watch the sidelines and see LaFleur go over there. And not only just talk to Love, but maybe talk to the receiver group or talk to an assistant coach for maybe just a couple of downs. And Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coordinator, who now is also technically assistant head coach, that's a title that LaFleur gave him, he kind of runs the game. Because you're Jeff Hafley, the defensive coordinator, he's upstairs talking into the helmet of the linebacker calling the defense. So Bisaccia kind of takes over the game. But then he gets back over. Now LaFleur, and you know, I can't watch that much of it on TV from the press box, but you know, obviously, you could see that he was just going nuts at some of these calls that were made. And Carl Cheffers, his group came into the game known as they keep the flag in their pocket. They don't throw a lot of penalty flags. Mm-hmm. But some of the calls that they were making, and I'm listening to Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings, and they're going crazy about some of the calls against the Vikings as well. That really, I can tell you. I can tell you for sure, because some conversations I had with some guys just by chance before they boarded the team bus with the Packers, they were drained. I mean, that felt like a playoff loss to them, because it's not a good look. Even if you go take your team to the playoffs every year. Even though you lose a Hall of Fame quarterback in Rodgers and you get to the playoffs the next year with Jordan Love, it's not a good look to only have one win in your division for the year,
yeah.
And that's against the Bears with a blocked field goal, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Packers have looked real good outside the division. Like you said, they're 1-4, only one loss against everybody else. So are the Packers struggling, or are the Vikings and Lions just that good?
They are. You know, what Dan Campbell's done is even more amazing, but particularly with all the injuries he's had. But it gets down to system. Both those teams. Here's the other thing. 20 years ago, Bob Harlan, the great Packers CEO and president, would say, "Okay, we've got to build this addition to the stadium. We got to improve our facilities. We got to keep up with the league, you know, because I promise you, you're going to fall behind." And you're like, "Come on, Bob. I mean, you got a 30-year waiting list for season tickets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You got a Hall of Fame quarterback. Yeah, everything's going to be fine." And now, here we are 20 years later, and Ziggy Wolf has been running the Vikings, and slowly but surely he got out of that Humpty Dome, that Metrodome stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That U.S. Bank Stadium now, after 4 or 5 years, they've got that place rocking. I mean, it's, you know, the fans are in sync. It's a tough environment to play in, and they've got a team built for it. And then after the game was over with, they had a concert indoors.
Wow,
country music concert that was outstanding. So there's 4,000 or 5,000 fans hanging around for that. So for the fan experience, it's outstanding. I mean, I'm looking at Ed Policy is going to be taking over for Mark Murphy this summer, and it's like, this is going to be tough to keep up with these guys on all those different levels. Yeah. They used to have a horrible training facility. It was right out of the early 1970s. They've moved into their new one about 3 years ago. I got a tour of that place in the off season. It's as good as, maybe a little better than what Green Bay's got. It's not right next to the stadium like, you know, the Packers have got.
Right.
But it's pretty impressive. So these are ways that you have to keep up with these teams. That Bob Harlan was right, and that's what Mark Murphy has tried to do with all of his fundraising and different projects over
sure.
the years. So,
yeah.
So that was, you know, this is going to be tough,
yeah.
beating these Vikings down the road.
Yeah, Packers-Bears Sunday. LaFleur kind of indicated here and there about playing all the starters 100% of the time. Are they 100% in on winning this game, or are they scoreboard watching because Washington's playing at the same time? And what does it mean to get a 7 versus a 6 seed? What does that mean?
I'm sure they would love to take control of the game and run up a score. And if they're ahead, get Malik Willis out there for the fourth quarter and start pulling guys off, you know. And maybe the Bears will even do that. If the Bears are out of it, they'll make substitutions because they're going to evaluate guys in the big, you know, end of their roster. But, you know, the Bears have lost 10 in a row. There's nothing that they would like better, and Thomas Brown, interim head coach, would like better than to beat the Green Bay Packers, you know, at Lambeau Field. So they're going to get a game out of them. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Bears defense, by the way, everybody plays these, you know, clips of Caleb Williams struggling and scrambling around the field and, you know, making some incredible throws downfield to, you know, nobody open. But the fact, and it could, you know, if the Bears don't, besides what they're going to do for head coach, if they don't do everything they can to first get that kid an offensive line. I mean, use all your draft picks and free agency money on getting him an offensive line. Don't do anything else. Just do that first. That's what they need to focus on. But, you know, the Bears held the Seahawks to 2 field goals last week. So,
yeah.
You know, that defense could be stingy at times. And, again, Packers barely beat them last game at Soldier Field, so we'll see how that matches up.
11 in a row for the Packers. Quick note on the Bucks. They put everything in to win that Emirates Cup, and now they're struggling a little bit after that. Got a few injuries here and there, too, it looks like.
Yeah, and off to slow starts, too. And, you know, that's what Doc said after the game as well. It's like, hey, you know, they're now 1-3 for the series this year against the struggling Brooklyn Nets, and a couple of those games was Giannis was out. But, yeah, the Nets back in Milwaukee for a second time in a row, they run up a score. Then somehow Giannis, once again, as it gets to be like the end of the third quarter, he takes the whole team on his back. They have 20 unanswered points. Nets, their last bucket, I think, was with almost 7 minutes left of the game. They had a couple of free throws at the end. And they came up short. You know, Dame tried to make a couple of shots there with about 4 seconds left that missed some three-pointers. And Bucks losing last night 113-110. So they're going to host the Trailblazers tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum. But that's a head-scratcher why they couldn't get past the Brooklyn Nets.
Tell you what, the level of play in the NBA, I watch quite a bit of NBA. It's just crazy, the ability for these guys to shoot three-pointers just across the half-court line. There's Michael Jordan's running around all over the court, seem like on every team out there, guys that are just making incredible, amazing plays and shots. It's just,
you know, and that's, it's expensive to see a Bucks game, but I got to tell you, that's quite a show for your money.
Yeah.
You go
yeah.
and you see these guys, and they're just they're giraffes out there running up and down the court, making some amazing shots, and then they take a timeout, and then there's some sort of dance routine that's going on out there.
Yeah.
Or they've got, you know, the jugglers. It's like a circus.
Every timeout, yeah.
Yeah, during the timeout. I mean, you know, if you brought along the wife and she's, you know, semi-interested in basketball, she'll be entertained. It's quite a show.
Yeah. And that's everything.
Costs a lot of money.
Yeah,
but it's quite a show.
And that's just Wembanyama you talked about. That's all he does. I mean, watching him is crazy. Just
juggling,
crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Fire eating, all that
he
stuff.
He does it all. Mike, always good to talk to you. We will look forward to knowing that you are in the south end zone of Lambeau Field under there somewhere after the game this Sunday. We'll talk to you next Friday, okay?
Thank you, Joe. Have a good weekend.
You too, man. Mike Clemens, he's our 98Q sports reporter. He'll be at Lambeau Sunday covering the Packers and the Bears.